Jonathan Council, Head of Environment at British Airways.
So you're here at the START Summit representing the aviation industry. How does the aviation industry view its role in sustainability and also more specifically climate change issues?
We recognize we have an impact on the environment, so we want to play our full part in the global reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, which is why we've committed as an industry to a 50% reduction in our net CO2 emissions by 2050, aligning with the conclusion of the Stern report from 2006.
So how's the aviation industry going to achieve that? Because obviously more people are flying, net travel miles are increasing. So how are there, is it going to be new technology, other types of schemes, biofuels?
Combination of three key activities. One is operational efficiencies, which we're pursuing all the time. So they will deliver approximately 1.5% fuel efficiency gains each year. Then beyond that is technology. Technology will play a key part, both engine technology, aircraft technology, and importantly, biofuels. So there's been a lot of activity in the biofuels area in the last 2 years. I don't know if you know where, we're here at British Airways. We are working with a company called Selena to build the first biomass to liquid plant here in the East End of London.
So that's a new generation of biofuels, not necessarily based on plant stocks.
Absolutely. And one of the commitments we've made as an industry is that we will not use any products that have any of the negative secondary environmental impacts. We will make sure that anything we use is fully sustainable.
So you pointed to that this is actually a cost-effective measure. It's going to save you. Do you have any general idea about how the cost savings? Because obviously right now the airline industry has suffered during the recession, as all industries have. What kind of cost savings do you think you'll get by these?
Well, on the operational efficiency side, we're looking at 1.5% fuel efficiency improvement. So that's 1.5% reduction in our fuel bill, which for British Airways is somewhere between £2 and £3 billion per year. So that's significant. But I have to say, I mean, we also believe that we need economic measures to be able to fully contribute our part in greenhouse gas reductions. And we support a global cap and trade scheme. So we recognise, we support the polluter pays principle. We recognise we have to pay for our carbon emissions. But we believe the most efficient and cost-effective mechanism is a global cap and trade scheme. And of course, that's going to cost the industry, a lot of money. But we believe that is the right way forward to play a full part and also provide the right incentives to accelerate technology development.
So right now, governments are looking at different types of schemes to do this. Is it a patchwork system that they're looking at? How do you move to that global system? What is it going to take?
That is the absolute key question. So in Europe, we have the EU emissions trading scheme from 2012, which we support and we believe is a fundamental building block to a global cap and trade scheme. So our sense, and we're doing a lot of work with IATA, the Industry Air Transport Association, in terms of looking at the pathway from regional schemes to a global scheme. How can you migrate from one or evolve from one to the other? On the downside, there are, in addition to the EU emissions trading scheme, a number of tax schemes. And that is very punitive for the industry and also ineffective in terms of meeting your environmental objectives.
So what are all of these measures? How is it going to affect travelers?
Well, effectively, what a global cap and trade scheme will mean that we internalise the cost of carbon for the industry, so the industry will pay for its cost of carbon. So all things being equal, the cost of flying will increase. So the cost of flying will reflect its environmental damage. So when people fly, the price that they pay reflects the impact they have on the environment.
One of the big debates here in the UK has been about a third runway in Heathrow, which was discussed on the stage.
Indeed.
How do you, again, part of the cost or the environmental impact of air travel are the planes and the airlines, but also there's the airports and the infrastructure. How is there a good way for that balance to be struck? Because obviously airlines, I'm sure, have a role in that infrastructure.
Yeah, and we believe that the third runway has no impact on climate change, because the flying won't disappear. The flying will continue, and we're already seeing it in the UK that people are flying from secondary airports to hubs at Amsterdam, Paris, and Frankfurt. And in fact, as Professor Begg mentioned this morning, there is a case that suggests without the third runway, you will increase carbon emissions because people that would have taken surface transport to Heathrow to get on a long-haul flight are now going to take a short-haul flight to another European hub to get on that long-haul flight. So there is good evidence, independent evidence has been produced, actually it will be counterproductive. I was pleased that the Minister stated that actually the third runway is about local environmental impacts of air quality and noise and not climate change, and we agree with that, and that's where we need to focus the debate, making sure that we're doing all we can to reduce local environmental impacts because it's not a climate change issue.
One of the key messages at the start of every single day of the summit thus far has been moving from debate and discussion to action. On these key issues, especially a global cap and trade, a carbon trading scheme, what is it going to take to move to action?
Very good question. And there are a couple of key events happening this year. There's one in 2 weeks' time, which is the ICAO, which is the International Civil Aviation Organization General Assembly, which is a three-yearly meeting, where they will conclude the industry position in terms of dealing with climate change. And that is the formal route then into the UNFCCC, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, COP16 summit in Mexico. So we're lobbying very hard for the industry to, and this is ministers of transport globally to accept, the global cap and trade scheme as the right way forward, and then to get that adopted through the UNFCCC process. So that's what we're pushing for, and that's what we're asking for. So we're quite unique in the sense that we're an industry asking to be regulated on climate change, but the important thing is it's the appropriate regulation that is the important message that we're trying to give.
Which leads me to my final question, and that is the aviation industry seems to have a united front on this. Mm-hmm. Isn't it going to take more industries coming to that point to actually get movement on a system of this scope?
It's going to take governments. I think governments have to, and of course through the Kyoto process, we have a notion called common but differentiated responsibility, the notion that developed countries take the lead on addressing climate change. So to have a global solution for aviation, there has to be a resolution to this common but differentiated responsibility issue. And we've developed a number of proposals, workable proposals, we think overcome that issue. But the key challenge is for governments to recognise that this is the right way to regulate the international airline industry.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.